I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We're still getting jiggy with it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England eventually beat Switzerland and Canada have qualified. It's Monday, 28th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
He slapped him in the face.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And that guy's Vitusha Nahantaraja.
He's amazing. Surely that's what we're going to talk about today.
I think we'll all be gassed out by about 10 o'clock. Well, about 11 o'clock. I think everyone's going to be getting all out of their system. And then we're going to be like, oh, what's for lunch? We need some more meme stuff for lunch.
Believe it or not, some people may not know what we're talking about. Because when I came into the office, news hadn't hit my ears.
What do you do in the morning? Are you, because you're always in a rush in the morning, do you just not get to look at anything?
Yeah.
I'm just on the internet from the moment I wake up till the moment I'm out of the shower.
Yeah. Mm. Are you like Shaun of the Dead? You know when he goes into the the off-license, he opens the door and it's a bloodstained hand on it. He just gets his milk and closes it.
I think you're forgetting, gentlemen, that all that kind of stuff is massively reduced when a child comes along.
But he's part of Gen... AA? What's after Gen,
Gen
Z?
AA? What, like Alcoholics Anonymous?
You know, it goes back around.
Oh, does
Gen
it?
Z.
Right. I thought Gen X was like the first one, wasn't it? Like,
that was the... Which one are we? Gen Y?
I think I'm technically a millennial, but yeah, don't catch me saying that near any
certainly
kids.
Not. Will Smith hit Chris Rock on stage at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Okay?
Cool.
Right. Oh, speaking of right, I saw Gordon Ramsay on Friday.
No, you didn't.
I did. I was down by the Thames.
And speaking of right, how do you get to Gordon Ramsay from right?
Right.
Give him a slap. His little doy face.
I didn't,
tickle,
he walked past because he's got a restaurant down. He's got like this pizza place down in South London on the Thames.
Okay.
And he walked past, and I was with my mate. And I just went, "Love you, Gordon." He went, "Hi guys, everyone, all right? Okay, all right?" Like that.
You shouted, "Love you, Gordon."
Yeah.
Why?
I just wanted to see what his reaction was.
It's demented behaviour.
You. Yeah.
No, I said I loved him.
Take your name out of your mouth.
Hi, guys, you all right? Okay. That was his initial reaction. I thought, because I thought he might be like quite
You're
a hate-filled
a father
character.
Now. You're a father now. You should be shouting at celebrities. It's London, for crying out loud.
Yeah. I thought he liked it.
He liked it. He liked it. Maybe. He endured it.
Yeah, he looked like he liked it. Anyway.
Imagine how much stress you must be under if it, like, because obviously Gordon Ramsay goes into establishments and then looks in the fridge and goes, "This cranberry sauce is out of date. Rubbish."
It was his own establishment.
Imagine how much stress the people must be under to keep their freezer in tip-top condition. When I watch those shows, I don't care about the restaurant itself. I care about the freezer.
Right.
Because there's always good stuff in the freezer.
There's always good stuff in the
freezer. Always good stuff in the freezer.
And he always goes looking, doesn't he? He's like, "I know there's mould in here.
How old's this veal?"
"You've kept the veal with the lamb."
No.
He gets so annoyed.
Oh,
they're enemies.
You're not meant to put the salt and the pepper in the same pot. Dearie me. Right.
Put the chicken with the wolf in the canoe.
What are you doing with the grain?
The vegetarian and the meat. Lasagna's not meant to be in the same lasagna. Yeah. Oh, dear. Right, everybody. England won.
Don't mention the hair.
England beat Switzerland 2-1.
They did.
Easy peasy. They came through it. Lovely goals from Luke Shaw and Harry Kane from the penalty spot. Switzerland, of course, went 1-0 up through a headed goal from Mbolo. That goal that Harry Kane scored from the penalty spot, Peter, was England's 100th goal from the spot.
Nice.
Okay. How about that, eh? And Kane, of course, matches Sir Bobby Charlton's England record. Well, previous record, of course. Wayne Rooney has the record. 49 England goals. Only Wazza is ahead of him.
Well, it'd be hugely embarrassing for him to beat that in an empty stadium in the next qualifiers.
That's what Gareth Southgate said, but he said the England fans have only got themselves to blame.
Correct. I agree with that statement.
He is correct. He said that I'd like him to break that record in the World Cup final.
Right, okay.
And I thought, well, and let's hope that if he did, it wouldn't be a consolation.
It's nice that that's the narrative, though, isn't it?
There we are. Yeah. We've covered the whole year for you there, everybody. We'll fill in the blanks as we go.
I like the idea that consolation in the World Cup final and he'd still celebrate. Yes, me, taking off his pre-prepared shirt. Done it.
54 or whatever it would be. Yeah.
Just done it, yeah.
Oh, indeed. I mean, Vish, the game, though. Switzerland looked pretty good at the start. People can forget that they're actually quite a handy side.
The best Swiss side in the years, you would say.
Well, I mean, it was like watching Hodgson's Switzerland. Some said it was like watching Hodgson's England. I mean, it was the Roy Hodgson derby.
Would it be fair to say that it's probably the best side England have faced in a long time?
Italy and the Euros final were quite good, although they've proved themselves not to be.
Stodgy, weren't they? Stodgy. I always say stodgy.
You like the word stodgy.
Stodgy. Yeah, if England don't play very well, stodgy.
If you're in a restaurant, just something stodgy.
Just some ballast,
please.
This
is a sushi place. Just stodgy.
Just give me a big bowl of white rice.
Overcooked. Nice and
white
in fact,
rice.
If you
nice
can
and
match
starchy,
it,
yeah.
You can
match it. Make me like this solid cube of congee, please.
Exactly.
Sorry, this sashimi smells like veal.
Oh, back to Ramsay.
Did you find the atmosphere at the game, not that you went, but certainly on TV, the atmosphere of the game came across as quite laboured. It felt like an England friendly of old, where it was like, in part because of the way Southgate tried something new, but as well as Switzerland played, certainly in that period where they should have been two up.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, if it wasn't for that man Jordan Pickford.
Yeah, he did very well. Yeah.
He answered his critic, being you.
I'm the only one who's ever said anything bad about Jordan Pickford.
In an England shirt recently.
Even then, I was merely, you know, talking up the virtues of Ramsdale rather than doing Pickford down. I never do the meme about his little arms. Don't even mention them.
When Jordan Pickford is telling everyone to calm down, I think there's big problems afoot.
Yes, that was quite amusing, wasn't it?
But it was interesting that
he's a different beast in an England shirt. There's that stat, wasn't there? 20 clean sheets in 43 caps. And he hasn't made an error that's led to a goal. And that's definitely not going to bite us on the arse, is it?
But the fact that things changed in front of him before kickoff with John Stones' injury and Ben White coming in. And a lot of people saying that Ben White was at fault for the goal. Mm. I can never really tell. I'm always willing to give credit to the crosser rather than the lay into the defender. Yep. Did see we got caught under it a little bit, but I imagine it's quite hard to suddenly switch onto game face, especially when you're like, right, you've got to start for England now.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
5 minutes prepared to start for England, but I we've talked a lot about tactics. You know, I said on Friday that I'd be keen to see how England go at someone, and they started with that 3-5-2. They didn't seem to like playing in a 3-5-2. Yeah. I feel like everyone who played in the midfield in particular isn't used to doing that, and so therefore it looks so disjointed. And Switzerland has so much control over the ball.
Well, they did, and I think that, because I was trying to work out, was it sort of a 3-4-3 or a 3-5-2? I mean, Gallagher and Henderson were clearly in the middle, which for Gallagher, who's a very exciting player,
he's a very excited player.
He's very excited.
And you need that in a friendly match, to be honest. You need something to go, to enliven it a little bit.
Definitely.
But whether that will see as well in a World Cup, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. I mean, he could be, if England are down and you need the midfield to harry and you need something, a player to bring on, perhaps.
I wouldn't say it was the most positionally mature performance.
He's not that kind of player, isn't he?
No, but you're right, because on that, I was surprised slightly that he went for the Henderson and Gallagher in there. Because both of them like to bomb forward. I mean, I'm desperately trying not to sound like a 2006 England fan here with one holds, one stays. But, you know, just having Rice would have given a bit more balance in that midfield and give Gallagher a little bit more freedom. Because Henderson and Gallagher, perhaps at times, maybe want to take up similar positions. I mean, if you played with a three in the middle with a pivot with Rice or Phillips, probably Rice, obviously Phillips is not there at the moment, you could have them, you know, both sort of going up and down, shuttling, providing a lot of energy. But the midfield, I just think it was a little bit of an imbalance there. They tightened it up in the second half because there was a lot of spaces and Switzerland really were exploiting that. And again, it shows you the quality they have. Because I think with Switzerland, you think, well, it should be a fairly sort of run-of-the-mill 2-0 England performance. But you forget that, you know, some of the sides that are maybe not fancy, they beat France for crying out loud. Mm. In the Euros, lest we forget.
I think that was a hell of a game. I don't think anyone's forgetting that.
Yeah, true enough. Who can forget that Benzema and Pogba goal? Goals, rather. All of us, because of what happened on the day. But yes, so I think that Southgate, he's clearly was experimenting here, and he might just want to give Henderson a bit of a run out, to be fair. Maybe hasn't played as much as he would have liked. So
I think there's also something to be said for the fact that, I know it's quite a simplistic point, but How often have Conor Gallagher and Jordan Henderson even met, let alone played together in the same midfield? Mm. And I suppose it's something that, you know, you always talk up the consistency of the squad selection. Yeah. That's what you get with that. You build that on-field understanding.
And having an elder statesman in there who's going to maybe talk him through it a bit more, or, you know, next to him.
It did look at times, it did look a little bit like Conor Gallagher was the kid and Jordan Henderson was the father, and it was like a parents' evening.
Yeah.
And they were like, what's your math teacher going to say now?
I thought maybe it was like a man taking his dog for a walk, and every now and then he lets him off. He's got one of those leads, the big long ones that kind of extend.
Well, they have them for kids now, don't they? Kids are on leads.
Do they? Yeah. Nice.
You should get one.
Yeah, it's too early for that, but
it's easier.
Well, as they're not bringing back national service, I've got to have some other form of discipline, haven't I?
It's either that or the zap collar, isn't it?
Like a running man.
Yeah. Not like that. I mean, that's a bit too extreme. Where's our son's head?
Just dial it down. Put it on the soft setting.
It's all right, love. I've dialed it down.
Oh, no, I'm putting on the strong setting.
Oh, no. Where did you see this? Argos. No, Battle Royale.
I've just read like green lighting my kid.
That's what Conor Gallagher needs, basically, is what you're saying. He needs some sort of collar. Not that will calm, blow his
just
head
look
up,
into the but, lovely sloth that is the Swiss manager's eyes.
Oh,
just calm it down a bit, because you could just spend hours just looking into Yakin's eyes, couldn't you? Kind of very relaxing. You
definitely just
demeanor.
Just his hair as well.
Just his hair.
But yeah. So maybe as a collar, if it lights up, you know, like if it goes red, then Harry Kane will turn around and go, "Oi, get back in your zone.
Get back in your zone."
Something like that. So there we are. I think that where's problem laser? Solved. Yeah. Foden was sort of up front with Kane, wasn't he? A bit like Sterling did in 2018. I mean, the thing is, you get such short time in international football to try something. You think, okay, because Southgate, again, he spoke about, as we mentioned last week, after the Euros, we're going to have to do a little bit more. We have to be a little bit more proactive with the ball, keep it better. Because, you know, the England's problems, they go far in tournaments under Southgate, but when they come up against the cream of the crop or a side who can keep the ball better than them, then they come unstuck a bit. So it is interesting. I mean, Bellingham came on. They finished the game with him in there. Vish, looking at this formation, did England learn an awful lot, or was it more about giving certain personnel a bit of a chance in an England shirt and seeing how they respond?
Well, I suppose those are two of the same thing, aren't they?
Well, perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he would have learned something about how they apply themselves. The Conor Gallagher thing is interesting because of what we spoke about like the energy and what might be deemed as positional ill-discipline, but it's basically how he's been playing.
But didn't look phased.
No.
Because some people, like, I mean, I know in England at the moment it's a real feel-good factor, which helps with that at all. But what about Mark Gay at the back?
I mean, it's always quite hard to gauge a defender's work. You probably need, you know, a few more games to see how comfortable he was. But I know it's not a measure of anything, but I was quite impressed at how accomplished he seemed in the opposition box.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously a good header of the ball, as most defenders are. I know, I appreciate that's not something that we should, you know, go overboard about. Mm. But yeah, he looked pretty comfortable. He looked like he belonged. He looked good in the shirt. Like, yeah. I mean, those are kind of the takeaways I have from it.
But, unlike his family, who were too nervous to be there, he looks like he'd taken all the calmness of the Gay family and channeled it.
I do find it quite interesting that he, you know, sometimes players have other players who admire them, and it's always interesting you know, especially when they're from a different club and they don't necessarily train with them that often. Mm-hmm. And you always realise that because a lot of them have come through the same pathway, they have this view of someone that you might not necessarily see because someone just comes to the fore.
Yep.
I thought it was really interesting that Grealish clearly rates him.
Yep.
Mm. Grealish seems to be like a huge fan of his. Mm. And yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, Tariq Mitchell coming on as well and getting a cap. Always
well,
nice
Kyle Walker-Peters as well, of course.
Yeah, Kyle Walker-Peters is outstanding, really. Mm. And, you know, obviously Spurs fans have been having their own discussion about how wasted it's been where they've, you know, tried Aurier, Doherty, who's like, you know, come to the fore recently, but also Emerson Royale just to replace him. And he's just there, you know, starting for England, looking pretty comfortable. But yeah, I mean, I think it was a friendly that we didn't really learn much, but no doubt Southgate's made a few notes.
Indeed, yeah.
Play a game in a match that actually means something. He's not going to fall for the Zaha thing that happened when he started his tenure, is he?
That's it.
Get him locked in.
Lock him in. Well, we got the Zaha International Derby tomorrow night, of course.
He's the first player to have played for an international team and then faced them, apparently.
Is that right?
Since my fantasy career... when I defected from Sri Lanka, yeah. And he's basically going to happen. He's going to score tomorrow.
You know,
I was reading an article about Zaha and they were saying, oh, well, of course, if he scores, you know, it's unlikely he'll celebrate. And I was like, are you sure? He'd be an absolute mug not to celebrate scoring at his England at Wembley. I'm back! Oh, dearie me. Nice to see that Luke Shaw can still smash him in at Wembley.
Yeah, it was like his goal in the final, but further out, wasn't it?
Yeah,
really?
Indeed. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. More of that England. You know the cheat code that used to be get to the ball and cut it back for Sterling to sort of tap in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut it back just a bit further, and then Luke Shaw's there to score. I mean, he made some interesting comments, though, about the environment around the squad, and he said, it's always important to feel like you're wanted. And I think, especially here with England, I always feel that. I'm not saying I don't at Manchester United.
That's exactly what you're
saying.
But
here, the way things are, I feel wanted, and I enjoy my football. Now, on the comment of Zaha, I mean, Hodgson actually said, because obviously he worked with Zaha later at Crystal Palace, he said, yeah, we didn't follow it through enough. Now, Zaha wasn't firing on all cylinders, of course, he went to Manchester United around that time, blah, 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 and was out of the squad for a number of years and then thought, you know, sod this, I'm going to play for Ivory Coast.
Well, Southgate, I think, by his own admission, botched it. It was actually a little bit rude about Zaha, like not wanting it enough and not kind of feeling as passionate about it.
Well, he said he wasn't going to buy into it. I mean, he said the first thing he did when he took over at England was to go and have a meeting with Zaha, but he did also, I think, maybe would have worked with him at youth level as well. I mean, you've got to make these judgment calls. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, I don't think England are particularly poorer without him, and I think he's probably played a lot more international football with Ivory Coast, and good luck to him. But with Shaw saying these comments, I mean, this is what we've come to expect from this England camp.
It's a nice little holiday, isn't it?
It is a nice
little holiday.
Well, it used to be, yeah, as somebody once described, it used to be like community service going to play for England. And Jamie Carragher wrote in one of his articles a while ago that players would sort of go, yeah, I've got a tiny little knock. Yeah, no, I'm injured. I'm not going to play. Whereas now everyone's busting a gut to go and play for England. It's good news. I mean, Timo Werner and Paul Pogba also spoke about being happier at their national sides at the moment. Obviously different context, but Pogba said the national team revitalises. I mean, we see this a bit from England with some players. I mean, Gay himself looked absolutely delighted to be called up, which is wonderful to see, gentlemen. So more of that, of course, and England will be playing Ivory Coast tomorrow night, so we look forward to that one. I'd like to turn our attention, if we can, to Italy, England's opponents, of course, in the Euro 2020 final, as if we need any more reminding.
We are really revelling in their dismay, aren't we?
I think, well, we're just...
it's petty and I like it.
Well, we're just reporting on it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't lie and say that they have qualified.
Just facts, mate, just facts.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going, get used to it.
You know, if I was to say Italy beat North Macedonia and they're going to face Portugal in the playoff final, it just wouldn't be true.
No, because they lost, didn't they?
And therefore I can't say it.
No.
And I won't say it. But what I will say, though, is that Roberto Mancini's mum is unhappy. Mariana Puolo has said her son made a mistake when he didn't select Mario Balotelli for Italy's squad for the playoff last week. Of all the criticisms and of all the things she could have said, that is right. That is bullseye, isn't
it?
Yeah. Should have picked Mario. Should have picked Super Mario.
It's he's Italy's last goal scorer in a World Cup, Balotelli.
Oh, yeah, 2014, of course, yeah. England.
I love the fact that, you know, so many players and coaches talk about, you know, when they lose or suffer a humiliating defeat, they just want to go home. And like their family reminds them that the world, you know, football is a small world, there's other things to live for, that your family still love you. And he eventually goes back home and his mum was like, I told you, didn't I? Yeah. I fucking told you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You absolute muck.
But of all the things, it's not like you should have brought him on or tweaked the formation. You should have thought about North Macedonia playing. He's like, should have brought Mario in there. That's what you should have done.
Did she do a presser? What's the, how did she, like,
I'm confused by this
as
well.
Yeah, was she kind of...
Just from the balcony. Shouting, yeah.
Imagine if I left my flat or my house this morning and, so, and like someone was camped outside... Just wondering if you got any comments about your mum wondering why you haven't got kids yet. I was like, I'm not saying anything now. She's been mouthing off.
Well, she was also critical of Jorginho.
My mum. Oh no, you know, his
Mancini's mum. Yeah. We're back to Mancini, and she was critical of Jorginho, saying, "This is super. I don't want to point my finger at him, Jorginho, because he certainly didn't do it on purpose. But if you miss three penalties." Yeah, you've really let him off.
Italian mum, I think it's fair to say.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. There she is. She must be proud of her son. They are the European champions, after all.
Not proud enough.
Maybe. The reports say that international retirement could be on the cards for Lorenzo Insigne, Ciro Immobile and Jorginho himself after they left Italy's training camp on Sunday.
Well, she also had a go at Jorginho, didn't she, as well? So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
retired him.
Mancini's mum. Mancini.
Did they leave before it finished, or were they always leaving on Sunday?
What, the match?
Mm. No, the training camp. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know, Vish. I just simply don't know. But it's incredible how it goes. You know, 1 minute they're celebrating, the next minute they're out. Good riddance.
Tomorrow's fish paper.
I jest, of course. But I think, I forget who it was, I think it was Ian Wright, said, you know, you want to see Italy at World Cup, all joking aside, you want to see some of the big teams, but there we are.
Especially the way they played during
exactly.
the Euros.
Yeah, yeah,
I know
yeah.
like a lot is made about them being quite tedious to watch, but they were brilliant at the Euros.
They were, and people forget, you know, the opening game, well, okay, it was only against Turkey, but again, against Belgium, what a great game that was. So all joking aside, you want to see them there, but obviously, as they're not there, another team can come through that we haven't seen before. I'm thinking Canada.
Hey.
Okay. Now, I do stress that they've qualified in their own right. They weren't waiting on Italy's result and go, right, that's us, boys, we're in. But they beat Jamaica 4-0. They've qualified for the Men's World Cup for the first time in 36 years. Junior Hoylett among the scorers, everybody.
Yeah.
Come on.
-9 overnight.
I thought
Canada.
You meant that they do golf scores in CONCACAF.
In Toronto, where they play that match. I was like, have they got a different keeper? Because that keeper's really... Oh, they're just all wearing gloves. and I'm allowing it at -9.
What would the Italians' coaching staff be wearing? I mean, they're wearing gloves at a balmy 11 degrees in Palermo.
Small little microwaves on their hands.
What are Jamaicans wearing? I mean, they'll play Jamaica for crying out loud. I'm surprised John Candy didn't rock up.
No, isn't he trying to buy Chelsea? But John Herdman was there. Canada is a legit football nation, he said. You better believe it, and we're going to keep coming. We're only just getting started.
It has been for a while, because if you think about it, the women's team have been so successful for so long.
And he's been a part of that
more recently. And I've got family in Canada, so I've been visiting Toronto and like Brampton specifically.
So you know more than all of us put together.
But they're all like massive like football soccer fans. You know, obviously they play American football in Canada.
You don't need to call it football soccer. Cover all your bases.
Well, no, because we're now speaking to a different listener.
Just say
we?
Soccer then.
Howdy, partners. We're talking about soccer now.
It's all right, let's all get in a line. Yeah. And,
it's called ice football up there.
Yeah, right.
You're like, we'll just have a fight in the middle of it.
What's it all about?
Yeah, the screaming.
And people thought we wouldn't take this seriously. Canada qualified for a World Cup.
It's an astonishing achievement. Well, not astonishing, it's an incredible achievement.
But they've got an incredible core of players now. And a really exciting core of players that are about the same age as well coming through. And did we all see Alfonso Davies crying on his Twitch stream?
Oh, I love the fact that he's just constantly on his Twitch stream doing his thing. Is he going to be back sometime?
He's missed 7 of their 14 qualifiers.
Well, he's clearly the best player, isn't he?
He's clearly their best player, but I think
maybe that's the key.
Just get him, just have him stream
in the World Cup, right, Alfonso? We've got you the bench to start with.
You didn't get us here, mate.
Yeah. Travel laptop.
Let's see how much of a fan you are on the bench. I think one can forget that he's actually Canadian. You just think, oh, this guy in Germany absolutely loves this story.
Yeah.
He is a player for Canada. I mean, they've had a mad schedule. That was their 24th match in the last 12 months. But, you know, they've used that well because they are like a club side at the moment. And if you play that many times, a close-knit team. And the midfielder, Stefan Oosterkio, I think that's pronounced, before the game said he'll invite all the team to his wedding.
Nice.
Was that like on the proviso that they got through?
On the proviso if they got on with him, I think. Like, all right, you're good lads. You know.
Oh, the squad are just the first 11 because I mean, I'm just thinking.
Invites are
night do or main one.
Who knows, Peter? Who knows?
Stag do.
The question. Well,
they might split it, won't they? So you can come to the day bit.
Yeah.
And you can come to the night bit.
Yeah. Yeah, go stag do.
Get the wrong ones can only turn up, and although then they can be drinking through. Mm. Yeah. It's one for him. It's one for Stephen or Stefan, depending on which one you prefer. There,
they won't be drinking. They'll be drinking Coors Light, won't they? So,
what a dig!
Turn up more sober than you started.
What a dig that is.
Push it down with some Tim Hortons.
The question of who will Greg Rusedski support the World Cup is even more pressing now.
He could have quite a good year because England qualified for the Euros final. Yeah. You know, played in the finals last year.
That's right. Yeah.
Canada this. He's got two choices.
Indeed, he does. The US, of course, beat Panama 5-1 despite their celebrations at the end, where they stood behind a banner, the whole team saying we've qualified. They haven't qualified. They've all but qualified, of course. They all quickly climbed down from that, saying, "Oh yeah, no, we don't want to take it for granted." It's like, clearly
you have.
Yeah. And you should take it for granted because you can lose 5-0 to Costa Rica in your next game and still go through. Although after last time with how they messed up, was it against Trinidad and Tobago? I think it was in 2017, where they conceded a late goal, a couple of late goals, where they really messed it up and they didn't qualify for Russia. They'll still be thinking, let's just get this done. For crying out loud. But yeah, so they were very impressive. Christian Pulisic scored a hat-trick, did the worm celebration, not a brilliant rendition.
He did the worm celebration.
Yeah. His third goal was I would go as far to say Bergkamp-esque.
Ooh. Mm. My partner tried to do, you know, was pretty drunk at a wedding once. And she tried to do the worm, and in that moment she realised she could only do the worm backwards.
Oh, right.
Wow. She was trying to go forward and she
out the door.
A lot of people think that's the case. I think that's maybe the easier route to go with the worm.
Yeah, right, okay. Uh-huh.
But if you're wearing a dress, it's problematic by about the third worm.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
presumably.
Yeah,
that's
she realised that very quickly.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Luckily she was wearing shorts though. Okay, everybody. Well, that ends the first half.
Yeah, I'd just like to make it clear that apparently Coors Light is brewed in Colorado.
Because they turn the mountains.
They do, yeah, yeah. The beer is as cold as the mountains. Was it? I can't remember. The mountain goes blue when it's cold enough or something like that.
Right,
but
okay.
They do brew it in Canada, but the most the number one selling beer in Canada is Budweiser, so my point still stands.
It does, yes.
They
have
a beer called Moosehead as well.
Nice, I like it.
And Molson's, yeah.
Yeah, here we are. Enough about that. Let's have a break, everybody. See you in a moment.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome to Eureka, the show that gets under the skin of science in a good way. I'm Rick Edwards.
And I'm Dr. Michael Brooks.
Not the kind of doctor who'd be able to help much if you were having like a heart attack. But if you're wondering about quantum physics or the theory of matter, he's your man.
Well, probably.
Every week we're asking a new puzzling question from the world of science and discovering the answer with the help of a world-leading expert.
Like, will we ever talk to animals?
They are definitely talking. You know, that's, again, a word that I would qualify because we usually mean that vocally. But in their own ways, they're talking to us every single day.
Are face transplants the future of cosmetic surgery?
Given that range of what's considered attractive, there's probably no point wanting to change your face to be more attractive if you follow science. And should we fear an alien invasion?
If an imperialistic drive brings other civilizations to us, then obviously it's not good news. But if it's scientific exploration, it may be good news.
If you're interested in learning a little bit more about the weird, magnificent world around us, then this is the show for you. Eureka. Subscribe now and find us on Twitter at EurekaPod. New episodes every Wednesday.
Eureka is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Otra vez, dale, 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 bien, bien, good, 1-0, dale, Victor, come on, Gonzalo, bien, bien, Pizarro, good, good.
I like this kind of work. I like it.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
Like Brent and the motorbike. Love all that. Love all that.
Now let's see how we got on in Betway's Four to Score on the weekend. Entry to Betway's Four to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. In game one, Ireland versus Belgium, I picked Dries Mertens. Of course I was wrong. It was Michy Batshuayi. Game two, England versus Switzerland, Vichy picked Phil Foden. It was, of course, Briel Embolo. In game three, Spain versus Albania, Kate picked Ferran Torres. It was Ferran Torres.
Hey.
Well done, Kate Mason. Game four, Netherlands versus Denmark. Luke picked Memphis Depay. The result was Steven Bergwijn. 1 out of 4. That means we lose. We'll be back with another round of Four to Score on the preview show this Friday. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for emails.
Oh, why?
Still 10 seconds.
Selector. I work at a grocery store in Pittsburgh, USA. This is from Brendan. And while being my usual charming self to each and every customer, I was flabbergasted to see the name appear when I scanned the membership card of one particular customer, Kevin Keegan.
No way.
Kevin Keegan.
No.
I had to ask, Kevin Keegan, I queried. Yeah, my dad was watching a game back in the 90s and named me after him. How do you know who that is? He's a legend, I replied. And a football podcast I listen to is a little obsessed with him.
Mm.
Now, usually I wouldn't believe it, but
it's harmless.
It's quite asinine, isn't it? It's quite like, okay, yeah. But because like, if you're already called Keegan, you're like, the way that it was described is that he watched a game back in the 90s, watched one game back in the 90s. So he's the manager in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
So he just get a lot of TV time. I don't know, it's confusing.
Who's that man disappearing behind the advertising board?
Yeah, exactly.
It's Kevin Keegan.
Right.
I like his purple coat.
Who's that man residing right after an England game? It's Kevin Keegan. Oh, call him Kevin then. Yeah.
That was 2001, that wasn't the 90s.
It's a good point.
Or 2000, perhaps. Well, there we are. Well done, Brendan. Did you know Pittsburgh, I think, has the most bridges of any city in the world?
Thanks, mate. Yeah.
Is that why they call the Pittsburgh Steelers?
That's why they call the Pittsburgh Bridges. Vish, I believe
Kevin,
you've got
bridges.
An email.
I do, from Gatvin. After Friday's shout-out to non-league day, I wanted to draw your lads' attention to Wrexham versus Dover, where I had a lovely old time. Final score, 6-5.
Oh, Gav.
Amazing.
My beloved Wrexham went 2-0 up, good start. Bearing in mind Dover are on minus 4 points, have conceded 82 goals and have only won one game all season, I settled in for a glorious Saturday afternoon battering.
And wasn't it a glorious sunshine, a glorious afternoon in the sunshine?
Well, 10 minutes later it was 2-2.
Oh no.
By the hour, we were 5-2 down thanks to a 14-minute hat-trick. Shit. We bring it back to 5-4. Can we do it? The clock ticks past 90. And then arrives Sir Jordan Davies, probably not really knighted. Our midfielder scores two goals in stoppage time to win it. One in the 91st, the other in the 97th. Limbs ensue in which I managed to split my trousers. That's what football do to you. That is remarkable.
Imagine if he got knighted because of that. I know they say they hand them out these days, but my goodness. Well, 6-5. I mean, you can't really top that. Two goals in injury time. I was aware of this result because Ryan Reynolds on Twitter tweeted, I just lost 9 years off my life, and I'm okay with that. Apologies to my family. Also, bury me in Wales. He's covered it all there, hasn't he?
That is remarkable. Yeah. What, imagine seeing a game that high scoring.
Yeah. Never leave a game at the end.
Yeah, never leave a game at 60 minutes, whenever that was, when it was 5-2.
Absolutely right. Mm. By the way, we've mentioned two Hollywood actors. Chris Rock wouldn't be a Hollywood actor, would he?
Yeah, he's been in Hollywood.
True enough. But you think of him more as a comedian, of course. Mm,
yeah.
Mm. We're going to mention another one.
Technically, we've mentioned three Hollywood actors, haven't we? Because the reason we mentioned Chris Rock.
Yes. George Clooney said he would love to buy Derby County. Not in as many words, but he's definitely...
Okay, so what did he actually say then?
He said, oh, yeah, I know them. I think he used to work with a guy who was a big Derby County fan. And it's one of those ones where he's like, oh, yeah, I always look out for them and I watch them. And he mentioned about sort of buying football club. It might be fun to buy a football club and all this kind of stuff.
Maybe he wants to steal from Derby County. He does that a lot in his films.
It's unlikely. I wouldn't put Clooney down as an asset stripper.
Oh, I've seen him. He's done
great
terrible
coffee machines
things.
In the players lounge, though.
I've seen him.
He's done terrible things to casinos. Cannot be trusted.
I've seen him. Yeah. Eating coffee pods in Tesco.
Yeah. Imagine Clooney, the slickest man in Hollywood, walking up to Derby County.
Stealing staplers.
Some bloke going, oh, you, I've seen you. I know what you're
lock
about.
Lock the safe, lock the safe.
I know. Oh, we can't. I'm not having this.
Do you want it?
Not at my club.
He's going to walk out with Ravel Morrison. Get him out of this club.
Before we move on, would you like to know how many people called Kevin Keegan is in the US? How many Kevin Keegans there are in the US?
12.
40?
Oh!
40 wow. Kevin Keegans. Guess how many Marcus Spellers there are?
3.
2.
Oh,
two.
Yeah, so many Pete Donaldsons is there?
Oh, 107.
Count the census. Ooh. 7.
How many Vatushin Hantarajas?
There is one Vatushin Hantaraja. Let's find.
No, that's just you. You're just registered elsewhere.
US Vish.
Sorry, there's a Vatushin Hantarajas in the US?
Yeah, one.
Yeah, I reckon it's you.
Why would it be me?
Why would it be me?
Because you're up to something. You and Clooney.
I remember it on like Facebook when you first joined, you just start any old group. I started a Vidushin club thinking I was the only one. And then loads of people asked to join, so I closed it.
Fuck off.
Yeah, I was like, no, this is
fuck off,
I'm
unique.
The only one, mate. Well, yeah. No way.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Yeah. Well, gentlemen, that leads us neatly, doesn't it, to the only man I know called Victor Moses. Who, amongst all this international action, it came out the weekend that the Premier League had blocked Burnley's attempt to sign Victor Moses from Spartak Moscow. Currently under special dispensation from FIFA and UEFA, all players at Russian clubs are considered out of contract till the end of June and so are free to sign for other clubs. However, the Premier League has blocked the move, citing the sporting integrity of the competition. So he's in Moscow currently. Obviously, doesn't want to stay there because of reasons stated. Quite interesting. I mean, Sheffield United signed a player from Rubin Kazan on Thursday. So what do you think of this, Peter? Do you think, the Premier League should lighten up a bit, or the sporting integrity of the competition must remain?
I always go with, what's the Bundesliga doing?
Yeah, okay.
and they're in agreement. They're not going to allow players to just rock up in their league, in the middle of the season. It sounds quite callous, but, when you read headlines like Victor Moses is trapped...
Yeah,
in Russia. I mean, it's when there's people in theatres, hiding, sheltering from bloody bombs. Like, I find that sort of thing quite distasteful. And I think it's probably an argument even to say that the player at Sheffield United, looking at their defensive problems, probably shouldn't be in that side. I think it is slightly unfair. Look, Burnley, Sheffield United, if you want to be the good guys, like, put them on your books, give them a wage, fine. Mm. But there's no footballing reason, I think, to play them in the league. But I think Premier League could rule on a case-by-case basis, I think. There's, you know, every footballer situation is different. But I think the Premier League, I mean, they've been burned by the Newcastle United and COVID rescheduling situation, I suppose. So, yeah, he's not in, unless he is in physical peril or danger. I think it's not a humanitarian cause, let's say.
So you're standing with the Premier League.
I stand.
Once again.
I stand with Soho. Where are they now? Where are Premier League's best?
I imagine Soho, probably.
Yeah, probably in Soho somewhere. Yeah.
Where you used to be based yourself in central London.
I was, yeah. Yeah,
you make it sound like they're a startup, like they're all hot desking at the Premier League.
They're in a WeWork.
Yeah. Oh, indeed.
I'm kind of inclined to agree with Pete in a way that, like, I think
in a way that upsets you.
No, well,
yeah, you're sort of doubting yourself.
No, but just in the way that, like, if Victor Moses is in some kind of trouble, if he needs to get out of there, then it makes sense that, like,
of course,
football clubs and football as a whole would band together and, you know, take him out of this situation. But in terms of the employment side of it, I think it's quite low down on the issues around, you know, this particular subject.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, there we are. Maybe next season we'll see Victor Moses in a Burnley shirt. We shall have to wait and see. Back to the international football, everybody. Ireland drew 2-2 with Belgium. They got a draw against the world's number one side. Although Roberto Martinez only selected players with less than 50 caps. Still a strong lineup, though. Lovely goal from Michy Batshuayi to get the game going. What would you, Ogbene with a rarely seen sort of self-set-up overhead kick for Ireland. he looks like he bloody loves it. Do you know what I mean? And who wouldn't love that as well? I mean, he's not scored an awful lot of goals. Rotherham, of course, he plays for. I mean, he doesn't get many goals. I mean, he's a winger. But he's got 3 and 6 for Ireland. So a lovely old time. Indeed, he's having. Did you see that the boos rang around the stadium when the big screen showed Thierry Henry sat on Belgium's bench? It's nice to know that football fans are football fans.
I mean, you wouldn't forget that in a hurry.
Yeah.
Did
they not forgive him when he sat down next to, was it...
Richard Dunn.
And he was like, oh, yeah, it's gutting, isn't it?
I can't remember who it was. Like, it was probably Roy Keane, but almost certainly wasn't. But I think it was like, if he'd sat down next to me, I would have lamped him. Mm. I don't mind that. I don't think you should forget that kind of stuff. Mm. I get it.
Yeah, Ireland now 7 matches unbeaten. Kenny putting a bit of a run together, because obviously they were, you know, obviously didn't qualify and they were nowhere near qualifying, you know, but just trying to get a little bit of a... bit of a good feeling there after a while of it not being so.
I think it's hilarious that Roberto Martinez just is not picking anyone with anyone from who has over 50 caps.
Mm.
Like, it's just such a weird line. I don't think you should be getting fancy, Roberto Martinez. I think he's a limited manager with a great squad, but I don't think he should be going, yes, I'm going to draw the line at 50.
Yeah, okay.
Especially if he, you know, by the time he gets through this, he might end up giving people their 50th cap.
Yes.
By this measure, and like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm running out of.
Oh, I've just given Nyangalan 500 caps. Shit.
No, everything smells of fag ash.
I had a look at Raymond Brain from the 1920s, 52. He would have been just out of the out of the scope. But I do think he might be friends with Danny Boffin, who had 53.
All right.
Brain and Boffin. Imagine that.
That's very
together.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. Get them on. They should be doing the old, you know, XG and all that kind of stuff, taking care of business there.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we've got to talk about Netherlands 4, Denmark 2. Great game. Netherlands 1, of course, but it was all about Christian Eriksen.
Mm.
Played in Denmark's shirt for the first time since the cardiac arrest last summer. Came on to a standing ovation from the Dutch fans. Scored 2 minutes late with his first touch. Oh, he swept it high into the net.
It's gorgeous, beautiful, isn't it?
And then he nearly scored another one, and that would have been an even better one off the post. Although, Pete, I think you pointed out, when he was doing his post-match interview, someone threw a coin at him.
I'm sorry. I did not endorse any of that, but fuck me, it made me laugh. This is what football is now!
Oi.
You've been away too long, Chrissy boy!
You've had your ovation.
Have a fucking euro in the noggin.
Oh, honeymoon's over, pal. You're an opposition player. Get out of this.
I wonder if it... but genuinely, yeah, like, as abhorrent as that behaviour is, I was at Ericsson's unveiling at Brentford where he was, like, really imploring people not to go easy on him. Like, he wants to come back and play football as he played it before.
Which is the opposite to some players. like Bukayo Saka and stuff. Oh, he's off.
People would be fearful of like of, you know, damaging, because obviously you know he has the device in his heart. He had to wear like a little pad. He wasn't sure about this, that, and the other. And even little things like, I know it was lovely to see Brandon Williams hugging him the other day, but it must get a bit like he's
at this point, it must be a bit annoying.
Yeah, he's back in football to move beyond this,
and it would probably not help him focus on the task.
Exactly. Yeah.
Although,
he clearly is focused on the task, because he was playing so well.
Oh, yeah, but then like,
if someone put a reducer in him, people would have been like, "All right, come on."
Yeah, but like, the fact that someone's loving a coin at him, he must be like, "Good,
good,
yeah, okay, cool."
Bit more of that,
people,
please.
People, for no good reason, think I'm a prick.
Key my car.
Yes.
Look, welcome him back. If you see Christian Eriksen out and about in Brentford, key his car. Come on.
Yeah.
This is a football ramble. Impetus.
No, it isn't.
Key his car.
Don't do that. Don't do a Will Smith either.
Christian.
Don't do anything. Just give him the respect he deserves, like any other footballer.
Give him the respect
and move on.
He's a footballer. They're worth nothing.
Well, they're obviously worth a quid or whatever the monetary value of that.
Yeah,
coin
exactly.
Was.
Well, Vestergaard clearly didn't get. Did you see that fucking challenge with the penalty?
Yeah, I did.
Absolutely flying in. Oh, very enjoyable.
It's a friendly match. I'm
going to
enjoy myself.
Absolutely wild.
Loves it.
I wish Ake wasn't at Man City. I would like to see him a bit more.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It sucks.
Well, you support one of the few clubs you can probably get him.
Yeah, exactly.
On
yeah.
the wages
yeah.
he's on now. So.
Summer move for Ake, definitely. Speaking of defenders, Virgil van Dijk dared to question the tactics of King Louis van Gaal after the game. He said, "I'm more in favour of a 4-3-3. Because they were playing a 3-4-3.
I prefer a van.
Van Gaal doesn't like a back three. Mm. So... Virgil van Dijk is already bubbling up for a big old bust up.
The way he said it, it seemed quite thought out. Mm. And like, you know,
this
just
is
as
the Dutch national team we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But, you know, in the way
let them argue.
Let them implode, please.
Exactly, yeah. That's because crying out loud, England needs all the help they can get. Oh, dear. France played Ivory Coast, who, of course, England's opponents tomorrow night. France won 2-1. Despite going a goal behind, last-minute winner for the French. Olivier Giroud scored on his first start for the national side in just over a year. He said, "I never closed the door." No, because that would be, you know, that is usually the door is closed for you. "I knew that if I perform well with Milan, I could keep the door ajar. I had that in mind, but it's not an obsession." He's having a good time of it. Top of the league in Serie A, going into the last, was it 9 games? Something like that. The 3 points clear. And now he's scoring for France, getting an equaliser against Ivory Coast. He's 4 short of Thierry Henry's record.
He'll probably get it, won't he? Wouldn't he get it?
Maybe a friendly against, you know, a lesser opponent, much lesser opponent. Ivory Coast looked pretty good. Pepe scoring a lovely one. The Arsenal man beat the Spurs man at his near post Vich. He thundered the ball home. They gave a good account of themselves, Ivory Coast. I'm quite looking forward to the game tomorrow evening, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be good. It's quite the way they're geared as well in terms of their attacking players. It feels like they can cause England quite a few problems.
Yes, indeed. So, look forward to that one. I mean, France, I still, despite Switzerland beating them and obviously going out of the quarterfinals of the Euros, they are still the team to beat, aren't they? I mean, they are the world champions, you know, so... The point stands.
The players that will miss out from that squad, it's astonishing.
Will really. Start for the majority of sides on the planet, yeah. So, we should see. Gentlemen, I'd like to end the show by talking about a footballer called Elax Moriba, who plays for RB Leipzig. Now, footballers' attitudes are often questioned. Are they pampered? Are they divas? Are they, you know, all these kind of words and so on are often used. Well, Leipzig signed him from Barcelona in the summer for more than £15 million. But reports say they're already regretting it because of his attitude. Now, when you read that, you think, okay, often there's a bit of, you know, is it the club?
Bit of politics.
Exactly. You think about Gareth Bale and the situation with Real Madrid, Well, the report suggests that he would ask the club's physios to bring him grapes when he received massages. I thought to myself.
I mean,
that's an attitude.
They are pampered.
They are pampered anyway.
So why wouldn't you fall into that kind of caper?
It's fruit. It's healthy.
Yeah.
It's a bit of sugar in there. It gives him a little bit more energy.
He's not saying, "Oh, bring me women." Yeah. great.
He's not doing a Ronaldinho, just turning up on a Thursday and just going for a sleep in the massage room, is he?
Also, I mean, he's not far off.
He's not far off.
I mean, the grapes lead to that. It's like a, yeah.
Bring me grapes, not necessarily feed me grapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know whether he was popping them, whether the assistant was popping them in his mouth.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And if he...
Yeah, he's not, but it's great. He's not like, bring me Rolos. You know?
Rolos.
What a ref.
Why did you go to Rolos?
It's such a weird reference.
I know, yeah.
They're nice.
They are nice, but
yeah,
they're
right.
Very 90s, 80s.
Yeah. They're still about, aren't they?
They are still about,
right,
inexplicably.
What's the bring me Skittles then.
But you put one in your mouth and you're like, this has been hanging around.
Yeah, they're all old, aren't they?
All those ones.
They weren't all manufactured in the 90s and now they're still trying to get rid of
it. It's like you're eating a Ritter Sport and you go, oh, this is old.
Oh, I
minty.
The marzipan ones.
I know you do. I like marzipan. You're a marzipan boy.
I know you do. Well, anyway, Vish, what do you think of this?
Do you like like a big piece of gammon with pineapple? That's like the yes. era of food
I prefer
you're
an
talking
egg.
About.
I prefer an egg on the...
Right.
Gammon's great, come on.
Gammon's all right. There are better pork-based foods.
I'm not arguing this. Pork-based. But yeah, Mariba's not... If he
Vicious
was,
pork-based foods.
If he's lying there
bring
going,
me some gammon.
Bring me some pork scratchings.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is fine.
If you were on the massage table, what would you want them to bring you? If you had the choice.
Pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Pete would probably... I bet you would pick...
Soup. No, I want to be... I'd want soup. I'd want them to ladle it into my mouth.
Stodgy soup.
My face would be through the hole in the massage table and they'd just be lifting it up. Yeah. It would be impossible.
And also, you'd be like, look, I know it's warm. Mm. You have to blow on it.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
not blowing on it. You blow on it. And then put it in my mouth.
Uh-huh. Which sort of...
Don't cut that, Pete. don't cut that.
Yeah, 46 there you go. Yeah. Or 5.
Make a note at the time.
Yeah, press M.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
What right. was your... What would you have fed to you on a massage table?
I think gammon would be up there.
Yeah.
I think gammon would
a lot
be
of chewing.
Spam.
Spam. Corned beef. Bully beef.
Yeah. Finish with a bit of Arctic roll.
Aspic. Ham and aspic.
And an after 8 mint.
Oh, no, I don't like mint. Don't like mint. Choc ice to finish.
Choc ice.
Compliments the Celtic roll.
Vienneta forced through the hole into your mouth.
What a disgusting image. Can someone Photoshop our list, please?
Then down, you know, see it off with a Vimto.
Tizer.
There we are, everybody. So, yes.
And then the Gulf War.
What's gone? Oh dear, there we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, Pete and Vish are back with Kate.
Yay!
Good luck with that, all Mason. That. Excellent stuff. Well, I hope you had a lovely time. Thank you for Tushin.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Key Christians, Kia.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you very soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.